The following podcast is rated R for zombie pus, amputations, machine guns put on said amputations, and Bruce Willis, because today we are covering Grindhouse's Planet Terror.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Guilty Movie Pleasure.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we are now. It got a little creepy. That, when I started talking that way, it sounded more like, "All right, coming to the stage, Candy, but Candy's coming to the stage." Not to just derail right off the top, but I remember my bachelor party year. Any strip club we went into was like, "All right, coming to the stage, Candy." Every single, it's like they all go to DJ strip club DJ school,
right? And then they smoke like this. Every cigarette ever.
Hey. Yeah. Anyways, now that we started off with that, hey, welcome to Guilty Movie Pleasures. I'm your host, Ben Begley, and with me this week is a special guest, one of my good friends out here, a super funny guy, Dave Kane.
Yay, hey, where that's
can,
me.
Where can they find you, Dave?
They can find me. You mean my
not
social
not
stuff.
Geographically.
Geographically. Yes, right now I'm in here. Yeah,
don't give them your social security, your blood type, okay. Your address. Just your handle.
Actually, A positive. Mm. I've got A plus blood.
I don't know what mine is. I should know.
You should.
I should know this.
You have a daughter.
I should probably know this.
You should find that out.
I know my wife has the blood type that makes mosquitoes want to bite her more, whatever that means. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I feel like my voice is dipping into
You're dipping into this.
And I saw Star Is Born today, so I want to just talk like, hey, I just want to look at you again. I want to go into like the badass Bradley Cooper Southern. Anyways, so Dave, where can they find you?
Well, they can find me at... you mean my social
yes,
stuff?
Yes, yes,
yes. Sorry. The at best Dave Kane.
I just wanted to hear your Twitter handle. What made you come to this?
I made it so complicated to just say my Twitter handle.
No. Yeah. I don't think it's that complicated at all, because mine is The Ben Begley, and sometimes when I say that, people are like, Z Ben Begley? I'm like, no,
why
The.
Would it be?
And they're like, oh, why don't you just say The? I'm like, because whenever I say The, then people don't understand what I'm saying. So it's well, you're best Dave Kane to me, too. Little known fact, well, to our listeners, but not to Dave and I. Dave and I go way back. We've been friends for, oh my God, it's been over 10 years now, because we met when, we may have already said this on the show last time you were here.
Yeah.
But it's been a minute. But hey, just to recap, this is the previously on Ben and Dave's friendship. Dave and I met at Cafe Muse, that doesn't even exist anymore, I don't think.
Nope.
And it was this coffee shop comedy show where it was an open mic night, and it was the worst. The woman running at Crystal's amazing. But doing open mics, if you're a comedian, you know this. And for those who aren't, maybe you've been to one because you were writing on your laptop and didn't realize it was an open mic night, which happened all the time. You're basically doing comedy to a bunch of comedians who are busy going over their own sets or quietly judging you, or like I said, somebody in the corner trying to write their screenplay, super annoyed that you're in their coffee shop. And I hosted it weekly, and I knew if I got a chuckle out of a laugh that would kill in a comedy club. And you came in, Dave rolled in with like 20 friends.
I'm a bringer.
And all of a sudden, I was like, oh my God, we actually have an audience. And I don't think I had really prepared for that night, because I'm so used to just hosting to six comedians and a guy on his laptop. And it went awesome, though. You killed it. That was your first time you ever did stand-up,
too,
right?
That was the first time I ever did stand-up,
and
yeah.
You chose a great venue to debut.
I met you.
There we go.
And we were best pals ever since.
And Dave helped direct a few episodes of a web series my wife wrote called Cluedless. You can still find it on cluedless.com. I'll just tweet it out. It's easier. And you also directed a bunch of our live sketch shows. We used to do sketch show called Dingus Khan. Mm-hmm. And now, what do you got going on now? I hear you got a new show.
I got a new show. I was a...
Pimp it out!
So, if you have children between 6 and 11, they might like this show called Junk Drawer Magic.
Junk Drawer Magic.
Yeah,
I
or
like
Junk
it.
Drawer Magical Adventure.
Okay.
This is really... That's the short... But yeah, that's the full name. It's on Universal Kids.
Is that on online, or where's that at?
It's a cable network, but
awesome.
You can find it online, too.
Awesome.
It's like, you know, DreamWorks stuff,
and
all that stuff. So, it's spooky. It's horror for that age group. It's magic,
Give
wacky adventures.
Pitch.
It's, you know, two kid magicians who just get into trouble everywhere they go. And then, you know, there's a lot of magic and library cults and... and an evil skeleton doctor.
Rad.
You know, great stuff.
Is this something you created?
No, I didn't create it, but I wrote every episode with a bunch of other people.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So it's going to be fun.
Did it premiere?
Premiered on Sunday.
Okay.
And it's every Sunday at 4.
Okay.
On Universal Kids. It's a fantastic show.
Junk Drawer Magical Adventures. Junk Drawer
Mouthful.
Magical Adventures. And I didn't get a link yet. I think we forgot. We had texted each other like, oh yeah, we'll get the link. And then the day stuck up on us. Because I wanted to be that informed host and be like, I loved what you did with it.
Right.
And instead I'm like, it sounds sweet. But no, you've been doing a ton of stuff like this where... Mm-hmm. You had something on Sprout Network as well, right?
Didn't end up going.
Oh, just kidding. Didn't mean to bring that up. But hey, this guy is low-key writing all the time. And you're going to know his name very soon. And you're going to be like, you know what? He's damn right. He is best Dave Kane. So
there are a lot of other Dave Kanes out there.
You had to delineate.
But this one is the best.
That one's the best.
I mean, there's a Juggler for Jesus Dave Kane. There is a...
what does that mean? Does he go to church functions
and juggle? And he juggles.
Is his
and then there's
title actually a juggler for Jesus?
Yep, I've met him. There's a Dave Kane Racing.
Push my mic a little forward. I did the thing that you told Dave... Oh, I knew it.
Oh,
sorry, I'm not supposed to... I do that all the time during the show. Steve's trying to be, like, sneaky and, like, not disrupt the show, and I read it out loud like a dummy, like, oh, this is what you're saying? Okay. Anyways, moving on. But, yeah. So, what were we talking about before I had to push my mic forward?
Oh, I think we were talking about all the other Dave Kanes. Yeah. I was doing a really good
Jugglers
job of pimping
Jesus.
Their stuff. Yeah.
Hey, follow at Jugglers for Jesus. Speaking of, nothing like that. So, Jesse couldn't be here this week. Yep. He has a UCB 301 sketch show today, so he's teching for that.
Oh,
so,
very nice.
He's very stoked about that. He's killing it in the improv world right now. And instead, I brought my buddy Dave on, and we're talking Planet Terror. So without further ado, let's get into this. Because, Dave, I don't even... It's been a while. I'm trying to think of the last movie we did when you were on here.
It was actually probably exactly 1 year ago.
It was a Halloween movie.
It was Evil Dead 2.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Big fan of Evil Dead 2.
So let's see if you remember the format. But basically, I'll just say what I thought about it when I first saw it versus now, and then you can tell me what you thought about it. Mm-hmm. I've always been a huge Robert Rodriguez and Tarantino fan, and they've teamed up a couple times before, you know, like with From Dusk Till Dawn and stuff like that. And so I remember when this was announced, I was super stoked for another team up. And I love the grindhouse genre, especially when it's done on a budget like this. And to me, Planet Terror is kind of like perfect Robert Rodriguez because it combines all of his knack for really fun, inventive action with completely insane ideas. I think Desperado is still maybe my favorite actual action film of his, but this to me is just such a fun movie.
Oh yeah.
It's so ridiculous. I remember seeing it in theaters back to back. It was at this old dumpy theater off of Fairfax that's now closed, but it was like an old school grindhousey theater and seeing this with like bad projection. Maybe it wasn't because it's actually shot intentionally or all the effects are added in later.
I think I only ever saw this in theaters until I rewatched it recently and so much of that is still going on that I thought was...
You thought the projector was bad?
I thought the projector was bad.
Hey, guys, could somebody fix this thing?
I think I saw it at the Vista originally.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they don't have a bad projector. Well, they have a great projector.
Well, because back in the day, though, I remember when we used to watch films, if you didn't go... And it was being projected on film. If you didn't go within the first couple weeks, it was a real crapshoot for quality after that. Because you had, like, teenagers running these projection booths in Akron, Ohio, where I grew up. And it would just be, like, lines down the middle of it, you know. I remember that it would burn out, they'd freak out, put the wrong reel on, and suddenly it would be Act 3, it'd be like the final battle or whatever, and we'd all be like, turn it off! Turn it off! Oh man, you kids don't realize how easy you got it nowadays.
Now with the digitals.
With your digitals, which does still mess up all the time too. Mm-hmm. But I hadn't seen it since theaters. I don't think I ever rewatched it for whatever reason, and I had a blast. It's ridiculous, and the thing I love most is that I love Machete, the actual feature that he did after this, now and the spoof trailer. But I think that this one, you could tell he had more of a budget. He had more... I love the practical effects of things. I like the practical Everything, the squib work in this might be the greatest of any movie I've ever seen.
Easily greatest squib work.
So much squibs. For those of you who don't know what squibs are, they're the actual practical blood that gushes out of people when they get shot or explode. The best squib moment ever, I'll just fast forward, is when they're driving the truck and they just keep hitting, that's not even squibs, it's just bodies full of blood.
Just as fake bodies.
Yeah, they just keep slamming into fake bodies that just explode with blood. And there's something tangible. I was talking about it when I was at Shriekfest this weekend with our short. How with horror films and with action films in general, when there's something tangible about having actual blood come out. And whenever you see the CGI blood, it just disappears into the ether and it looks stupid.
Right.
I understand cleanup. It's easier to go, all right, reset, and not have to clean up all the blood. But it makes it cooler.
Our eyes just know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like we... everything in CG, we are like, that's great for CG.
Yeah.
But
you always know when it's not.
You always know. And it doesn't matter how bad it looks in the real world. Now that everybody is moving towards CG all the time, it doesn't matter how bad it looks if you do it practical.
Yeah.
It looks better.
Yeah.
Because you did it practical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The
yeah,
zombie totally. Effects. I mean, I'm sure there was maybe a couple CGI effects to the zombies or enhancements, mm-hmm. but everything looked practical.
Yeah.
Like when Bruce Willis turns around and it goes like full Elephant Man times 10. Yeah. It looked practical to me. So that I'm not against CGI. I watch Marvel movies constantly.
Do you think that was actually Bruce Willis?
No, absolutely not.
That was like a different guy.
There is no way Bruce Willis stuck around and was like, yeah, put me in 8 hours of makeup. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. He's the guy who wouldn't come do Expendables 2 unless he got like, or Expendables 3 unless he got $1 million a day or something.
Mm-hmm. This is a less phoned in.
Yeah. We were talking about that before.
Yeah,
we were talking about that. I love Bruce Willis, but he started to just kind of go, I'd like to dial in a performance, please, until he gets somebody like M. Night Shyamalan, which I think he's going to be great in Glass. Because when he works with, what you can tell when he's cashing a paycheck and when he's excited for something. Anyways, we got 40 minutes to cover an awesome movie. Dave, what did you think about it when you first saw it versus now? And then we'll get into the plot under 3 minutes.
So, like, the great thing about Planet Terror is in the context of the Grindhouse, the two Grindhouse movies and everything, that is the march of the thing. Like, Death Proof is like the overture, and that's the march. That really sets you up and punches you in the face. It's like, this is a Grindhouse movie. This is all the things that you want back to back to back to back to back.
Everything
it's
thrown
just,
in.
It's just giving you every single thing that you want. And it's just fun all the time. All the time. The thing with like Robert Rodriguez movies in general is that everybody seems like they're having a great time. And then they've got cool actors and then some dude in the same scene with the cool actors. And you're like, I don't know who... It's like, it's probably they met the guy at the hardware store in Austin. And it was like, he wanted to be in the movie. So we made him the doctor.
Like a strip club bouncer guy?
Yeah, exactly. Like, he's a doctor in a scene with Thanos now.
Yeah. Josh Brolin.
Josh Brolin.
It is funny how that happens. And you can tell that these actors, that these have to be fun sets to work on, or else they wouldn't get, like, such an insane cast in all of his movies. And, you know, even Sin City, the Sin City movies are really awesome. Everything Robert Rodriguez has done, even the Spy Kids movies are fun for what they are.
Yeah.
And I think that he always has a do-it-yourself, handmade feeling to his movies.
Right.
So I've never seen a Robert Rodriguez movie where I've been like, well, that was terrible. I've always been like, this is super fun. And that's what he sets out to do. And that's what the point is.
That's the point of movies. That's the point of making movies is to have fun. And the audience sees that. Like, Funhouse Massacre.
Yeah.
You guys were having so much fun in Funhouse Massacre. And when you see it, you can tell. And you're like, oh.
And here's the $5 so for pimping out Funhouse Massacre at LA Comic Con, October 27th at 1 p.m. No, but that's the thing. The only way Robert Rodriguez could ever disappoint me, which he hasn't, is if I went into a movie and I was bored.
Right.
You know, his movies are not boring at all, and they're a blast. He's one of my favorite filmmakers just because you know what you're getting into, and there is still a craftsmanship, there's still an artistry to his even most ridiculous movies like this. There's still an art to it. It's shot well. It's even the script is fun and has as winky as it is, it still has some really clever stuff in there. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just going to go out in there and say it. He's one of my favorites. This movie's awesome. Let's do the plot in under 3 minutes. Are we ready in the booth, Steve?
Woo. Yes, sir. Here we go.
Okay, here goes.
In about 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, so we start off with Cherry Baby. She's
the greatest opening title sequence ever all time.
She's doing a go-go dance.
Every movie should start that way.
She goes backstage. She's crying. Or she cries on stage. The bouncer or the owner comes up and goes, it's go-go, not cry. And then we're introduced to Avi, the guy from Lost, and Bruce Willis and these soldiers. And he's like, I want your balls.
Totally into balls. Yeah.
He's really into balls, but he doesn't like touching them.
There's something with a lot of gas and things.
Where's
and
the mask. Shit?
Yeah. Yep. And then he shoots it, and then the green gas goes off, and then everybody's...
walks into
up.
It, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we cut to, Fergie's there, her car's broke down at a barbecue joint, and Josh Brolin shows up with his wife, and she's texting somebody and her son, and
they're going to work, they're waiting for the babysitter.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And then, oh, God, and there's all kinds of weirdness, Fergie gets killed first, she gets murdered, and then El Rey picks up Cherry.
Yep, at the barbecue with Jeff Fahey.
Yeah.
And then,
We're good. And then El Rey swerves because he thinks that there was roadkill, but it's actually Fergie being dragged off, and they don't know. They get attacked. Oh, they swerve and crash.
Right.
They get attacked. Her leg gets bit off.
Right. Because it just gets pulled off. Like it's very clean.
So she gets. Here, help me out here. Where are we at? Where are we at?
I don't remember what happens. I think we go to the hospital.
Oh, yeah.
And then we have the whole thing with the guy, the like fisherman who got his arm bit, and then she stabs him 3 times.
Yeah.
And then Doc Block and her, they are having a lover spat.
And and he stabs her hands with the numbing. And so her hands. Right. The rest of the movie are like
so good
scarecrow.
When she has to get into that. She gets into the car, she drives away.
Tom Savini and the cops are being attacked now. With El Rey has been taken into custody with them.
Exactly.
Tom Savini gets his finger bit off, and then he punches the dude with bullets.
Cherry is in the hospital at this point.
Okay. She gets a peg leg.
They all leave the hospital. Everybody goes to the barbecue place.
Yeah, because they have a sex scene, and then
they have a sex scene,
reel,
missing
and everybody's
reel.
There.
Mm-hmm.
And the barbecue is under attack.
Barbecue's under attack.
El Rey is given guns. He blasts a whole bunch of things. They get on the world's tiniest motorcycle. They end up with Bruce Willis.
They
back
go to the army base.
Yeah, DC-2. Yeah.
Boom, 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 boom. Lots of fighting.
Abby shows up again. Once more balls.
Mm-hmm.
El Rey gives her the machine
gun. Gets his head
blown
off.
Any of our bioengineers? She gets a machine gun attached to her leg. She starts whooping ass. El Rey gets killed. And she goes off. They all escape in a helicopter.
Is like the savior of everybody, and they go to
Mexico with the Mayan sea behind
temple.
Them. Yes,
yeah.
And she's there with her son because El Rey never misses.
Yeah,
and he put a baby in her. And Josh Brolin was there, and then he got killed.
The world.
He got killed by the dad, and everything's happy.
Two against the world.
It's so hard to remember everything because it's all just like
there's so many things going.
There's so much. We forgot about the dad and the son killing himself and all that stuff.
Oh, my. So good.
Such a weird moment. It's like, I laughed and felt awful as a parent laughing at that moment. But
it's like there was a scene where he fought the zombies or something, but then they were like, cut for time. Had the kid shoot himself in the face.
Because it was like, I feel like what happened there was, A, it was probably in the script already, or B, it was like, well, the kid's really expensive and we're shooting night shoots. Easier.
Kid wasn't very good either. Kid's like a weak link going on there.
He might have been a kid they just found at
little Tony from The Shining was not doing well.
He might have just been a kid they found at a diner, like you said. And we're like, hey, you want to be in a scene with Jeff Fahey and everybody else?
He was like, acting, yay!
God, talk about a greatest hits of Robert Rodriguez as actors, too. The sheriff in this was the sheriff in From Dusk Till Dawn.
Yeah.
Which I'll never forget when he gets blasted in the head by Tarantino and in From Dusk Till Dawn, and he's on the ground and his jaw is still going. I remember as a kid being so disturbed by that violence. I mean, you got Jeff Fahey in it, who's been in every one of all of their movies.
He's fantastic.
He's so good. He's got piercing blue eyes.
Yeah.
His
yeah.
blue eyes just stare through the TV to your soul. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go and say, JT's barbecue, that's the secret to his barbecue, is his soul.
It was weird. I was going to pick up talk about the piercing blue eyes, but you beat me to the
See,
punch.
They're yeah. so piercing. Yeah. And that's not color correction. That's just Jeff frickin' Fahey. By the way, we're trying not to say F-bombs here to broaden our audience.
No, you didn't. I just said,
that's why I was explaining why I said Jeff frickin' Fahey.
Smart.
Broaden our audience from 12 to 15. Let's play clip number one. This is just the music before the trailers, and I love it. And they do this at the Vista, and yes. I love it so much.
Get some popcorn.
It's so good.
Ow!
At the Vista, they do this still mm-hmm. at the beginning of... I don't know if this was something that was made specifically for this, or if it was the original theme that Coming Attractions had.
I like how any... I don't know if this is every movie place, but they definitely do this at the Vista. There's that one, and then there's one that was made in the 60s.
It's like, let's all go to the movies.
And then there's one that's made in the 70s. That's like, no talking, throw away your garbage. And then there's one that's made in, like, the 90s yeah. that's turn off your cell phone.
Yeah.
They never, like, update and just do all new ones. They just, whenever they get it, they're like,
it's the best.
Good enough.
I would rather have that than where whenever I go to AMC and they make me think that Coca-Cola is God's gift to everything. And it's like, taste amazingness. And it's like you're in IMAX and it's like the mm-hmm. bubbles off the Coke. And they're like, you've never had a soda like this. Sugar syrupy water. Amazing. It's like,
yeah,
I remember I was sitting next to a buddy of mine who doesn't go to AMCs that often. And he started laughing and turned to me and was like, is this always here? I'm like, yeah. AMC acts like they discovered Coca-Cola.
All this weird. Stupid trivia stuff, too. Yeah. They're like, yes, when Spielberg was directing Schindler's List, he drank Coca-Cola all the time.
Stupid. I know. And trailers are so long for movies now. When we saw Star Is Born today, it's a 2-hour and 16-minute movie, and then you put 25 minutes of trailers before then, you're like...
Oh, no.
It's too much. We don't even show up for trailers anymore. We skip them usually because we can't do it. Anyways, that's a random tangent. But I wrote, Jesus, this opening is sexy AF.
Yeah.
Rose McGowan is super sexy in this mm-hmm. movie and mm-hmm. a badass mm-hmm. and really good. Like, you forget how, because a lot of it is more, now she's just more outspoken on Twitter and more just kind of, you don't see her in movies as right. much as more of an activist. And she's really great in this movie.
She's fantastic.
She's so good. Mm-hmm. And I wish she was in more stuff. And yeah, this opening, I was just like, oh my God, it reminded me of Jumbo's Clown Room out here in Los Angeles.
Right. Yeah.
And it's a go-go bar. That's the thing that this movie.
So go to the Vista.
Vista.
Go to Jumbo's Clown Room.
Yep. There you go.
Exactly.
We're giving you a tour of,
of Los Angeles.
Los Angeles. So
yeah, everything about her look and everything that she does in the movie, you're like, I want to see this movie. Like,
yeah.
Every time you see any of the pictures, the cover with her, yeah.
Right there, with the machine
everything,
gun.
You're like, yep, that's a movie I want to see.
Right?
Yeah.
And she's super badass. And Robert Rodriguez also has a good way in all of his films of making things sexy without being too exploitative. Yeah. Like, even the sex scenes are shot in a way that aren't, like, Desperado has a super hot sex scene between Salma Hayek and Antonio Banderas, but it's very tastefully done. Or Salma Hayek in From Dusk Till Dawn,
right,
with just the snake and in the bikini,
I would say the same thing about the violence, too.
Yeah.
There's always a little bit of a tongue-in-cheek. There's always, like, a sensibility going on, so you're never, it's never like, oh, but that scene, oh, I couldn't deal with that, you know?
Yeah, because all of even when it gets incredibly graphic in this movie, or even when the little kid shoots himself, like there's still
right. It's a tasteful kid shoots himself in the face.
I don't know how that even.
No, it is.
Like, I honestly
watch the movie and it totally is.
Or like, I don't know how it works.
The Tarantino scene is actually, you get really nervous that you're going to see this awful weird scene.
It gets real.
It gets real.
Brett Kavanaugh-y real quick.
And then. But then
I just liked your reaction that it was worth it.
But then it takes a good horror turn.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh no, for a new reason.
Let's get into these oh no moments. Yes. So let's start off with Avi, the guy from Lost, I can't remember his name. Clip number two.
I also want your balls.
he is obsessed.
It's interesting. Because the Chuck E. Cheese's was closing down back home. that I used to work at. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was like a going out of business sale where they were selling all their arcade machines and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I thought maybe I'll go down and get like a skee ball machine or something. This is before I moved out here. So I was thinking like for college or whatever. And I got there and there was just one dude that had bought up everything. And the only thing left was the ball pit. And I was like, well, maybe I could do the ball pit when I'm in college or something. And I go to get it and he looks at the manager and he says,
I also want your balls.
And I'm like, well, damn it, you just bought everything, dude. Yeah. The going out of business sale just started. I'd like to give myself credit for not doing a testicle joke there.
Yeah.
Since it would be way too on the nose.
It's,
Because what he's doing is he has a Rambo knife with like a bottle opener, and he's chopping off dude's testicles and putting them in a jar for no reason. And he's a biochemical engineer, by the way. I don't know how many biochemical engineers you've met. I haven't met many.
Oh, yeah, actually, I used to live with a biochemical engineer.
Did he collect balls?
Just collected testicles all the time.
It's a, they minor in collecting testicles. Yeah. It's so weird. But it's you know what you're getting into immediately when this movie starts. Mm-hmm. It's going to be sexy, it's going to be over-the-top violent, and there's going to be lots of severed testicles. But the best is when the shit hits the fan and the testicle jar smashes.
Yeah.
And he gets it in his mouth and stuff, and he's like, and he's grossed out at first, but then when he escapes, he's got to grab
a couple of them.
He gathers up like his, this one's this guy.
Oh, this is my favorite.
His top five balls.
Old Squishy.
This is Hangy, this is Lucy, and that's Squishy. Anyways, 20 minutes of ball jokes. This is when Bruce Willis shows up, and he really wants what he's looking for, and he makes sure to pause for extra dramatic effect. Can we play clip number 3?
So, I'll ask you one more time. Where's the shit?
I feel like it's a really easy going to do it yourself, and they don't have the fertilizer you're looking for. Anyways, get the joke. And you got it at me like, I'm going to ask you one more time, DIY worker, where's the shit? Sorry. Instead of playing the whole sound clip again. That's the first joke that came to mind for me.
You know what?
Yeah.
When I'm reading Where's Waldo book and I can't find him, I'm always like,
so, I'll ask you one more time.
Meanwhile, his face is bubbling, which later on we'll find out is that, and it's kind of a really messed up story that, like, let's just skip ahead to Bruce Willis's endgame. Mm-hmm. He was the man who killed Bin Laden, but he wasn't supposed to be there.
Right.
So the army infects him with DC-2, I think it's called. DC-2. It's a bioweapon. Mm-hmm. And now he consistently has to be exposed to it until he can find a cure, or he'll turn into a bubbling herpes zombie monster.
Makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
The guy kills Bin Laden, and then
he's given a raw deal
just to cover it up.
That's kind of what they hint at.
It seems like they should have just shot him if they want to cover it up.
Instead of this horrific virus that can spread to everybody.
Yeah. There's no connection between, like, why they used that. Why that was the way
I think maybe it was that they were experimenting with the DC-2, mm-hmm. and so they used these soldiers that did a good thing for the world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But they needed to cover up said good thing.
You know, this is the first time that I've seen the movie since they actually killed Bin Laden.
Yeah.
So now it's like, I don't know, it takes on a different...
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Because this is pre SEAL Team 6.
This makes you think, wait, did SEAL Team 6 not kill Bin Laden?
Did Bruce Willis?
Did he already do it? And now there's this whole theater.
Oh, God. Now it just messes up when I watch Zero Dark Thirty next time. Meanwhile, I'm going to think it's the sequel to this. Or the cover-up, the fake news story.
Now this is a conspiracy theory podcast.
I'm Alex Jones.
You know what I'm going to tell you? I'm going to tell you that Bruce Willis killed Bin Laden.
Do you know Alex Jones is, like, obsessed with the prequels, the Star Wars prequels?
No.
And, like, he knows a lot. Look that up sometime. It's ridiculous.
That's the only Alex Jones rabbit hole you should ever go down.
That is the only Alex Jones rabbit hole.
Obsessed with the prequels.
Also, the problem with that is then your YouTube will send you down other things.
Yeah, open up a private window or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Go to an internet cafe, although then you'll look like an even bigger weirdo.
Because you're in an internet cafe.
Are those real? Anyway, so let's... we have so much awesomeness to cover. We got so much awesomeness. We'll skip ahead a little to the dysfunctional relationship between Josh Brolin and his wife. Who his wife has been cheating on him with Fergie.
With Fergie.
Which I wouldn't. Why would you be mad about that? But anyways, he's really not stoked about it. And he also has this awesome tick of putting in a thermometer to make sure.
I love the thermometer.
It's such a... Yeah. And he's like, you're going to get too intense one of these times, and you're going to bite it and break it. And he's like, well, then I'll know that my heart... Or something. And then I wish I'd pulled that clip. Because it was a really good one, and now I just jumbled it.
Then I'll know I'm not calm.
and then he
flips it open and goes...
And it's because Fergie's there dead. And there's some really great practical Greg Nicotero graphic violent moments in the hospital with, like, the dude that comes in with the bite. And that, when he's looking at his tongue...
Oh,
he's
man.
He's looking at the guy's tongue, and he pops part of it, and it goos on his glasses. I gagged in my, on my couch.
The great, though, too, like, when they're like... when they're like, well, we got a no-brainer here, because she's got no brain.
I forgot to pull that, but that was one of my favorites.
It's so good.
Because it looks really like, it's a great cast of Fergie's face that they made.
Yeah.
And they turn around full on, no brain.
Nothing in there.
No brain.
Nothing in there. That's so one of those, like, Jackass moments where I'm like, watching it by myself, I still laugh out loud about that. There's so many of those in this
absolutely
movie.
I never miss. I laughed out loud. There's so much of this movie that works with a crowd or by yourself. And then Josh Brolin goes in, and the guy is, before that, Josh Brolin stabs the shit out of her hands with it, because she has these awesome...
Right. I love...
She's the anesthesiologist, I guess, and she's like, this yellow one's going to make you feel this, and this one's going to... She has this awesome routine she does.
I hate needles. Oof. Like, I really don't like
So when
needles.
He's, like, jamming away at her hands?
No. But I do... In that scene, I like the framing on that scene, because they do a lot... Like, they're both... doing a lot of weird stuff with their hands.
Yeah.
Like, she goes like this for a long time.
Yeah.
And then he holds the phones up like this. Yeah. Just so that in the reverse, you could get whoop like that.
It's so good.
Yeah.
and so then the rest of the movie, she has to run around until the very end with limp hands.
Like, you see that scene with the where somebody's got the keys and got to get in the car. So many times.
Yep.
And this is one of the most original ones of all time.
Oh, God, when she's has her hand in the door and she trips and then cracks her hand further, you're like, oh!
That's one of the worst.
And it's also, like, it felt like an homage to the... I don't know if this was this pre-Kill... No, this was after Kill Bill, yeah.
Yeah.
It felt kind of like a nod to Kill Bill a little bit when she's moving her big toe in the hospital when she's, that was like just kind of a fun grindhousey nod to Kill Bill, because they kind of give each other nods back and forth. Mm-hmm. But Michael Biehn, a.k.a. Kyle Reese, is in this.
Michael Biehn needs to be in
Why is he not in everything?
Why is he not in everything?
He's so awesome.
He's so good all the time when he's in something.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's great, and he's got this, like...
Do you know anything? Is he hard to work with or anything?
I don't know. Let's look it up.
Yeah.
Because he seems rad, and he's always good.
He's so intense.
He's got a chip on his shoulder with Ray, and there's, like, something about Ray where he's on parole, he's not allowed to have guns and all this stuff because he destroys things. And then when he gets the guns later, he's a devil with... And let's just play that clip since I already skipped ahead to it. Which one is it? That's number 5.
That boy's got the devil in him.
Because he's just going... One more time, please.
That boy's got the devil in him.
You know what? Actually, since I've known you such a long time, I remember you telling me a story about when you were a kid and you accidentally sat on a Hellboy toy.
Yeah.
And then the doctor told your mom.
It was embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't recommend playing with your action figures when you first get out of the bathtub as a kid. You know?
You slip and then... Yeah.
Slipping and get a Hellboy toy up the ass. I think part of his hand is still up there.
The big hand.
The big hand. Mm-hmm. So we got to do a little bit more on Brolin, because he kind of drops it. The only complaint I have about this movie is I wanted more Brolin, but there's so much awesomeness. It's fine.
I also like how bad his, like, facial hair is. And that's not fake facial hair.
No.
That's his real facial
hair. Just,
There's also
a super scraggly, weird goatee thing going on.
This movie's 10 years old now.
11, yeah.
11 years old. And facial hair has changed in that amount of time. We liked our goatees. Or did we?
I rocked a goatee throughout all of college, and I thought I looked rad.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And Renee looks at him and goes, "What were you thinking?" And my mom still goes, "When are you going to grow that goatee back? It was so handsome."
Really? Your mom liked the goatee.
She liked the goatee. It's a generational thing.
In college, and then a caricature artist drew a picture of me, and my chin looked like a ball sack, and so I immediately shaved it, and never, ever again.
Were you dating somebody at the time? Because I wonder if they were like, draw his chin like a ball sack so he shaves this stupid goatee.
You're absolutely right.
That's exactly what happened.
Chrissy.
That's exactly, she ruined your goatee. So Brolin, that awesome scene before we leave the hospital, and the wife jumps out the window and survives and gets and breaks her hand in the car door. Brolin sees a curtain smeared with blood, and the guy who came in, Nicky Katz, I think is the guy's name, who's in a ton of his Robert Rodriguez's stuff, too.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that you go, oh, that guy.
You're like, I like that guy. Why isn't he in more stuff? Mm-hmm. That's like every Tarantino and Rodriguez movie. You're like, why isn't this guy in more stuff? His arm is cut off, and he's killed the other doctor, and the body parts are everywhere. And then he comes at Josh Brolin with his buzzsaw, but it unplugs right before, and it splits his glasses. I love that detail.
So good.
And then another disgusting moment where instead of just killing him or plugging it in, he pops a lesion on his face and smears it on Josh Brolin's face, and he's just left there going, And then we find out he's been infected later on.
That's another point where there's that that like blocking, like a grindhouse blocking, where Josh Brolin just is up against the wall going,
it's so good.
As things drip into his mouth.
Oh, God, it's so good. Then they're at the police station. Savini's finger gets chopped off. They all try and leave. Tom Savini, who's a very famous makeup artist, who is also Sex Machine and From Dusk Till Dawn with the crotch rocket gun. He has a great moment where he goes up to one of the, I guess we'll call them zombies, DC2 infected zombies is better. I love when he punches his bullets through him. He's like, and he like shoves the bullets through its head and through the body. He does it so
naturally that I'm like, I feel like I've seen somebody do this before, but I've never seen anybody gun punch someone.
The closest would be Antonio Banderas in Desperado when he's like, it looks like he's flinging them out of the barrel. When he's like running down the bar going, kuh, kuh, kuh. And I have very limited experience with firing ranges and stuff like that. But I have terrible aim as it is without going, hit that! Hit it! Go, bullet! Go!
Go!
You get that target.
It's like that movie Wanted.
Yeah.
Where they were curving
the
bullets.
We covered that on here. I love that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, maybe this is all just Wanted stole from these two movies.
We've done, what is it, Daywatch?
No. Nightwatch and Daywatch are rad.
We should do that.
Daywatch makes no sense, though, unless you know, unless you're steeped in Russian mythology, which I am not. So then...
I am.
Oh, you are? Good. Good. Yeah, perfect. We'll bring you
on
to that.
I've been to Russia.
Yeah, we'll Never bring mind.
We'll
that.
Go back to Planetary.
So then there's an awesome sequence where they won't give El Rey a gun, so he has these two butterfly knives, and he goes to the hospital wrecking these zombies in a really cool sequence. There's also a thing with, I feel like Rodriguez, when he shoots his action scenes, you can actually see what's happening.
Yeah.
He lets them live in wide shots. He doesn't cut. And you get to see all the full-on gore. It's ridiculous. He goes and rescues Cherry, breaks off a table leg, and shoves it in there, which seems like it would hurt.
Well, no, she already has, metal.
Yeah, the metal cast. That's right.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah.
Still, there's nerves. There's still nerves there. So then we go where the wife, Josh Brolin's wife, is escaping. Her son shoots himself, and it should be like the most effed up thing ever, and somehow it works in the context of this movie. And then El Rey. Oh, and then they all hold up at JT's right before the sex scene.
Right.
And this is, what were you going to say?
Oh, no. I don't know.
There's the moment where Michael Biehn is like a, gets trying to get a little bit more of his backstory. Can we play clip number 4?
Are you a wrecker, Ray?
Nobody.
It's the easiest thing to remember. So remember it.
That's a great line. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, even though the tone has to be so right with this kind of stuff, they play everything with just the right amount of winking without it being parody.
Right.
You know,
right.
Where it feels like you could watch this movie in the 70s and people would be taking it seriously.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the worst thing you can do with a movie like this is go too broad.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it's like, we might as well just be watching a Will Ferrell movie. Not that there's anything wrong with a Will Ferrell movie, but Will Ferrell in this movie would be too much. That kind of over the top.
Nobody's like playing jokes for jokes.
No.
And also like...
The lines are ridiculous. You don't have to deliver them in a ridiculous way.
And the other side of that is like, it's not too homage-y.
Mm-mm.
You don't have to actually know, oh, this is from this.
Yeah.
And this is, yeah.
I'm nobody.
Yeah.
It's easy. What did you just say? Well, play that again. I like that clip. Please, Steve, sorry.
Ben, are you a wrecker?
Are you a wrecker, Ray?
Are you a wrecker, Ray?
Nobody. It's the easiest thing to remember. So remember it.
I think I've said that to... I think I had a customer say that to me at a restaurant when I worked at Tokyo Dells back in the day, where they're like, my order is the easiest thing to remember, so remember it. And I'm like, all right, dude, chill out. I have like hundreds of people I'm waiting on here. You're not the most important customer in the world.
All right. Spring rolls. Cool, bro.
Spring rolls. Cool, bro. We don't even sell spring rolls here. That's why I can't remember it. Then there's the awesome missing reel where there's...
Yeah. They cover so much in the missing reel. It's perfect.
Yeah.
Like, they don't just like...
Yeah.
So much! I thought it was so funny, like, when it came out on Blu-ray and it's the, like, extended cut...
Yeah.
Everybody was like, hey, the missing reel is going to be, and it's like, no, it's not.
It's not in there.
It's not going, like, it's not going to suddenly, like, have a gratuitous sex scene in it.
No,
and
it's
like,
just more, in fact, I've never seen the extended, have you seen the extended cut?
Yeah.
Did you watch it?
I watched the extended cut.
Oh!
Just before this.
I didn't see it.
I don't know what's extended.
This one doesn't have the extended cut. There's, like, 15 minutes of more footage, and a lot of it is more of Josh Brolin and, there's a few more just character building. There's not a ton more action from what I understand.
When I start talking about a scene that you don't know what you're talking about,
perfect.
That's in the extended cut.
Yeah, but I think everybody thought, oh, the missing reel was because they... And no, that was intentional, and it's brilliant.
Because
then you skip all the stuff where we don't need to know how they all get to JT's.
It's so good.
Barbecue
come
joint.
Back out of it, and it's
just
like,
chaos is happening.
Just the shot of just fire.
good. And everybody is now together, and the biggest shock of all is that the strip club owner survives the entire film for me.
Yeah.
That's the biggest shock
all
to
the
me.
Way to the end.
I don't understand.
He's
somebody's
buddy. Yeah, he does fine the whole time.
Because in the beginning, he's kind of a douche.
He's obviously somebody who should be dying in a movie like
this. He says to a stripper who just cried on stage, a go-go dancer, it's go-go, not cry-cry. That's a douche move,
That's a eaten by zombies move.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or sickos.
You'd
refer to them as sickos in this movie, I believe.
Yeah, I think so.
I think that's the
sickos.
Term
I like
for
that.
The zombies.
Is that what they say?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, there we go. Sickos. See, maybe that was in the extended cut.
Maybe.
So then they all... Man, there's this awesome sequence where the zombies are overrunning and Tom Savini gets ripped apart.
Yeah.
And they cut from him in the same shot. You can barely see there's like a little blip where he's sitting there screaming, really the actor, Tom Savini, and then it cuts in a split second and it goes to a doll, a life cast of him still in that position of screaming, and he gets ripped to shreds.
Yeah.
And it's awesome. And Nicotero, Tom Savini, and Robert Kurtzman, who did the Goron R movie for Funhouse, they do similar things like that, where there's a part in our, not to just shamelessly, screw it, I'm going to shamelessly promote our film. One of my favorite kills in the Funhouse Massacre is when the Rocco, the killer wrestler clown, grabs a kid's head and pulls it off. And that's actually Robert Kurtzman's son. And what they did is they shot it and they had him lift, the kid got up on his tippy toes and then open his mouth to a certain part to match the head cast of him. And then we cut, and in a different angle, then all Rocco had to do is put his hands exactly where it was, because he covered his eyes in real life when he was really there.
Okay.
So you couldn't tell that it was a dummy's eyes, and it looks like he really... I remember seeing it in the theater when it was briefly in theaters, and people being like, oh, because it looks cooler.
In a movie where they killed one child just for an effect.
Because even though you realize it's silly that this head is getting torn off, or it's silly that Tom Savini is getting ripped apart... It's shocking when it happens and it's practical, and you're like, I kind of buy into that in this world. So anyways, those guys, that's why they're some of the greats, and they are the greatest, because they do that, and it looks awesome.
The jump cuts in this, like, that are built into the style of, mm-hmm. of the film flicker thing cover so many good yeah. things. It feels like they add more squibs to people by just doing a jump cut, and it feels so like they add squibs. So much stuff.
So much yeah. squibs. We so then they all get out in this caravan to leave, and we have clip number 6 where I gotta remember this actress's name. She's fantastic, and I wish she was in more things. Who plays Josh Brolin's wife?
Marley Shelton.
Yeah, sure. She's great. She was yeah. in the beginning of Rampage, the new Rampage movie.
I'm Carrie.
Yeah.
You sure are.
Can you play that again?
I'm Carrie. You sure are.
You know, Ben, yeah. What Starburst flavor do you think you are?
You know, I Starburst flavor?
I'm Cherry. You sure are.
I actually think I'm more of a, I don't know what Starburst, I've never been asked that. I gotta think about it. I gotta think on that. I would say Taste the Rainbow, but I think that's Skittles, or is that Starburst?
No, that's Skittles.
Ah, all right. Mm-hmm. Well, I screwed up. And then Ray gets on this kid's motorcycle, and it's like a little, the tiniest yeah. motorcycle ever.
It comes out of nowhere.
That's when it does verge into like silliness in that one moment, but he still plays it so legit. Yeah,
so legit, and he wheelies.
It's so awesome.
Yeah.
They go back to the base, Tarantino shows up, and in typical Tarantino fashion is a horrible person in his cameo, because anytime Tarantino shows up for a cameo, you know he's going to be an awful, mm-hmm. awful human being in most his own movies and Rodriguez's movies, and he basically is just... Rapey McRaperson, where yeah. his main goal is like, oh, hey, I'm gonna do this, and like you said, right when it could get gross in the assault way,
yeah, in the assault way, where you're watching it and it's going and going and going, and you're like, I don't want to see this, yeah. I don't see this, yeah, and no. I'm this is not fun. This is not cool. And then all of a sudden he starts boiling up, and he takes his pants off, and everything down there is melting.
You literally see two testicles drip down.
And you're like, oh, but now you're terrified in that other way.
And I love that they're like, you're gas, man. And he's like, I just have to make this quick. It's like, I think it's gonna, you're gonna die. Mm-hmm. Or there's not gonna be anything left to make it quick with, buddy. But I would have loved it if the dude with the balls just came running in like, oh, I need you. Speaking of, we have another clip of balls to number 7.
The balls, sweetheart.
That's what you thought, I think, is what mm-hmm. happened in that scene. You're like, oh, don't go down that direction. And then when you're like, wait, what's that dripping between his legs? Are those two Subway meatballs from a sandwich? And then I believe I text you.
That bull's sweetheart.
And then he went, oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. It's weird that I go, that bull's sweetheart.
Well, you
my
always
text.
Say, and sweetheart, yeah, when you're texting me.
It's just, I have pet names for all my friends. Mm-hmm. It's so ridiculous. So, oh, my God, there's
wait,
so much.
You know, what's the shape of your eyes? Are they triangles?
No, I think my eyes are...
Apples, sweetheart.
Apples, sweetheart.
Stupid.
Stupid. So stupid. I love when JT distracts the guards, and sadly he gets shot in the process, and mm-hmm. him and Michael Biehn mm-hmm. die and blow up the place. But before that, before their swan song, El Rey has the gun, and he's like, no, here, I'll give it back to you.
Yeah.
And then when he flips it around and fires it, it's so badass, because he's holding it, and he's like, here, you can have it. And flips it and shoots the guy still. Oh, it's awesome.
So good.
We already talked about Bruce Willis's, how he's the one who really killed Bin Laden.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then when he turns, it happens. Like, Tarantino's balls take a minute to drip off. When Bruce Willis turns, he goes from Willis with a few little, like, marks to full-on.
Right.
What's his... why can't I remember?
Tarantino does puke his guts out into, like,
oh, we forgot
octopus.
About that.
Yeah.
Forgot about that.
Yeah. It goes full-on, like, the thing.
Super gross.
Yeah.
And then Bruce Willis turns into what looks like... why can't I... Michael Rooker's character in the end of Slither.
Right.
That took him an entire movie to
he
get to.
He looks like a Resident Evil boss. house.
Yeah.
And with the big claw thing.
Yeah, where Chris and Claire Redfield are like, all right, Tyrant, here we go. And then they say, thank you for your service. Blow them up. Can we play clip number 8? This is, this is before Tarantino bites it. This is just to show you how big of a douche he was being before then.
I have seen me some crazy-ass shit in my day. But I ain't never seen me a one-legged stripper.
And he always delivers stuff that way and on all of his cameos. Like, I've never seen a one-legged stripper.
You know, I,
Yeah? Yeah?
I went skinny dipping the other day.
Yeah.
And
The
other day.
Okay.
The other day.
Okay.
I went skinny dipping and I was with a bunch of pirates.
Oh.
And as we were getting ready to go in, I said,
I have seen me some crazy ass shit in my day. But I ain't never seen me a one-legged stripper.
We forgot that finally. We forgot that finally. Josh Brolin's wife, Marley Shelton, I believe, she regains strength in her hands and fires the needle into Tarantino's eye, and that's what makes him bulge up, and then he vomits out his own guts. We got to get to. We only have a minute and a half left.
Oh,
the piece de resistance of this movie, the machine gun leg,
right?
Where El Rey puts the machine gun on her leg. And then she goes in and just starts full-on Chuck Norris roundhouse kicking bullets at all the zombies. She uses the grenade launcher to launch over a wall.
She's just like Angel of Death over the wall. Yeah.
And then we find out that Avi is working on a cure, the biochemical engineer who likes balls. And he turns around the corner and his head gets blown up and it splits in half. And we have clip number 9.
I don't suppose there are any other biochemical engineers around?
So good.
It's like a comedian doing crowd work.
Well, because she says that in the she always wanted to be a stand-up. So that was her best joke.
That's her best
She's working on it. That wasn't a fake B story. She actually wants to be a stand-up. And she succeeds. Oh, man. Josh Brolin comes back. And then his father-in-law shows up and kills him. And then they all fly off. And the helicopter chops up a bunch of the sickos. And then they end up with her as their savior with now a Gatling gun on her leg. And it's awesome. Basically, the third act, this entire movie is mayhem and madness in the best way. If you haven't seen it, what are you doing watching this? Go watch it now.
Mm-hmm.
We do have to wrap up because that's all the time we have in the studio today. But until next time, Dave, where can they find you?
At Best Dave Kane.
And where can they find your show again? Junkyard.
Junk Drawer Magical Adventures.
The worst.
Junk Drawer Magical Universal Adventures.
Universal Kids.
4 o'clock on Sundays.
It's for your kids 6 to 11 and the kid at heart. Yeah. Watch some spooky Halloween
like
fun.
Like some spooky weirdness.
Yeah. Thanks for being on here, man. We appreciate you stopping by, as always. And until next time, I'm at the Ben Begley on Twitter and Instagram. And also, if you're at LA Comic Con at the end of the month on Saturday, October 27th at 1 p.m., we're screening Funhouse Massacre to all LA Comic Con attendees. So come check it out. We'll be there. We'll be giving out posters, all kinds of fun stuff. Until next time, what is your guilty movie pleasure?
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.